more broadly. So welcome to this call, this free seminar on Hidden Language of Dreams. How to use your body to to understand your dreams. My name is Peter. I'm a focusing teacher. I'll say more about focusing and dreams in a minute, but let's just get a few technical bits out of the way. So if you're new to Zoom, you can change a couple of things. One is you should probably already have noticed where to mute and unmute yourself. So that's something, and I'll also be muting people generally when I'm doing speaking, and then when I'm open to questions, either you unmute yourself or kind of wave or sort of make it known that you need to be unmuted if you can't do it yourself. You can also use the chat box to send messages to me if you want to do that. It's another way of communicating, or messages to the whole group, anyone in the call as well. And you can change the view. Now, I've got a view where it's all of you, all in a grid, because that helps me to see everyone. But if you can just have a view of the main speaker or whoever happens to be speaking, you can do it like that. I think there's two, speaker view and gallery view, it's called. So those are the two different views. So yeah, and you can feel free to have your video on or video off. I don't mind. Whatever works for you. So any technical questions on Zoom before we begin? Okay, good. I'll assume that's all okay. So I'm going to start, like I do with many, all the things I do online, all the courses I do, I start with a bit of time to arriving in yourself. So you don't need to know anything to do this. You just follow the invitations. It's really just about arriving in yourself and noticing just how it is right now to be in your experience. So we'll take two or three minutes to do that, and then I'll explain the kind of overview of the call and what we're going to do tonight. You might want, for this short exercise, you might want to close your eyes or just rest your attention ahead of you. In some way, though, bring a little bit more relaxedness, let's say, or settledness into the body if you can. Having said that, you might want to stand. It doesn't really matter. Whatever feels right for your body. This is what this is about. So noticing however your body is right now, however it's supported. Through your feet, through the chair. So noticing that context, the environment you're in, through that sensation of contact. And taking in, even if it's just with your imagination or your kind of inner sense, the space you're in, the room. And that room is in a place, in a location, in a country. And this time in your life. So kind of taking in this moment, however it is. But particularly inviting you to notice your physical presence to begin with, just that physical sense of being in the space. Sometimes I invite people to notice their posture and the kind of solidity, the sense of their edges of their body, the space you take up. And just noticing it. And then maybe noticing just more inside the body. You could use your breath or just use your awareness. What's it like in there right now? Your belly and your chest, but not just the physical body, but inside, just how is it right now? How does it feel all in there? And maybe there are things that feel good and alive. And maybe some things feel different. Or maybe there's uncertainty. Or maybe there's some big thing going on in your life that you really feel inside you. It sort of impacts you. And so whatever's happening is welcome. You don't have to be a special way to be here. Everything that you are, everything you bring is welcome. So just invite you to silently notice just your presence, yourself here for another minute, and I'll let us know when we're finishing.
connection. Oh, in my office right now.
So taking time to bring that to a close. And I'll end with a poem. Not one of mine. In fact, I don't know who wrote it. I must find out. So this poem. This land, like a mirror, turns you inward. And you become a forest in furtive lake. The dark pines of your mind reach downward. You dream in the green of your time. Your memory is a row of sinking pines. Explorer, you tell yourself this is not what you came for, although it is good here and green. You had meant to move with a kind of largeness. You had planned a heavy grace, an anguished dream. But the dark pines of your mind dip deeper. And you are sinking, sinking, sleeper. In an elementary world, there is something down there, and you want it told. There is something down there, and you want it told. So, this call is about exploring that. Perhaps elementary world, certainly a different world that we experience when we dream. And yeah, there is a story, many stories down there that want to be told. You could even look at the dream maker as a sort of storyteller. Depending on how much, of course, you recall your dreams, you may experience that very vividly or just very briefly and in little glimpses. But we know something goes on at night. And then, so this call is about the meeting of that of our dream life and this practice called focusing. So I wonder, I might just give a little very brief 1 minute summary of focusing in case you're new to it. So what can I say that would make sense? Focusing is this practice and way of being of listening to what our body holds, kind of knows at a deeper level, not just beyond our conscious mind. You know, often we identify completely with thought and sort of think our way through issues, but there's a lot more knowing in our body. Our body has a kind of intelligence and a wisdom. So focusing is just a word to describe tuning into that, which is a very natural skill for many people. And for some of us, we have to kind of relearn it, like myself, or learn it to some degree. I guess I had some of it. But so focusing is a kind of a way of listening to that knowing we have, kind of through or mediated by the body. Yeah. So that's this meeting of focusing and dreams. I'm going to say a little bit about why they work together, and kind of this meeting point. Then I'm going to give a few tips around working with dreams. So some more general tips around just kind of the whole business of working with dreams, and then some tips of some particular invitations you can make when exploring a dream. And then, if it feels right, we'll do a demo. Somebody or the right situation crops up, we'll do a demo of working with a dream. And that demo would be, using this method to explore a dream. So cross that bridge later. And then, we'll just kind of have some questions and time to end. So that's what we're doing. So in focusing, in the practice of focusing, for those of you who know it, and even if you don't, hopefully this makes sense. In focusing, we try and find a symbol or a sense inside that kind of fits, or one aspect of focusing, let's say, if we try and find something that fits a situation in our life. So we might have a troubling situation or something we're trying to find out more about, and we go, okay, what does my body feel about this? And it might be a symbol, you know, it might be a physical thing. We're also like, oh yeah, it's like a kind of brambly, knotted thing, or it's like a cave that's really rich in life, or it's like a stormy sea. You know, we use metaphors in poetry and movies all the time to explain our emotional and inner world. So anyway, focusing is just turning, using that skill of metaphor. So in focusing, we invite a metaphor for what we feel. And it may or may not come. It doesn't always. But in dreams, you know, this is interesting. In dreams, the body or the dream maker gives us a symbol for our life, or symbol for many threads of our life. Like, it's a, in a way, it's a ready-made focusing session, you could say. It's a ready-made symbol. You don't have to go searching for it, which I really like. Sometimes we're really puzzled by something and it's really hard, and we sit with the body and go, what does it feel like? And it isn't always so easy, but like, sometimes, but a dream can just offer you the whole thing very incredibly rich and elaborate and intricate language. And it's like, it's done it. It's made up the whole, it's given you the whole story in symbols and in story. So it's one of the reasons I love working with dreams, is you don't have to, in a way, if you remember a dream, then you've got something worth exploring, even if you think it's a boring dream, as we often do. We think, oh, it's just a dream about, you know, the data processing I was doing yesterday or something. You know, it was just a dream about rubbish bins, you know. But actually, there's a lot of richness, even in what we call mundane dreams. So yeah, we have this inner storyteller, and it tells stories. It tells big stories. And it tells stories about just kind of some like icky, difficult problem with someone we spoke to yesterday. You know, a dream, sometimes you don't know the difference in a dream, whether it's about, until you look at it, like, is that about a small problem or like a really big thing? So in my experience of working with focusing in dreams, is dreams can encompass great arc, story arcs, you know, your entire life, or some entire piece of your movement through life can be given a symbol in a dream. Really interesting. Nothing, I don't know if this is true to say, maybe nothing is mundane. In that, or perhaps we put it like this, very often we overlook what's significant when we look at dreams. We think, oh, that's, I know that bit already, or that doesn't look very interesting, or yeah, that's just about rubbish bins, that's just boring. But when you explore it in a way we're going to today, something very interesting begins to happen. The other thing, just parallel, I want to talk about with focusing and dreams is they both really sit at this border between the conscious and the unconscious. Eugene Gendelin, the developer of focusing, spoke of that being, yeah, a description of focusing. It's like it lives at a boundary of conscious and unconscious. And for me, that describes where dreams live. It's very much that same place where something of our unconscious kind of comes into our awareness. So maybe I'll just stop there and then invite any questions or anything I've said, just so we can just keep on track as we go. So if you have a question, you can type it out, you can unmute yourself and ask whatever would fit. Oh, Stephen, did I unmute you? Go for it.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I don't know, it's not quite a question. It was the beginning of a thought about what you said.
Yeah.
Sometimes focusing can feel like being in a dream and being sort of conscious.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of unfolding. You don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you're sitting there waiting for it to go somewhere, but
yeah,
you're just trying to be with whatever is, whatever, you know, with it, rather than saying what it is.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's like being, that relationship of being with is really interesting. And I'm just trying to think around the whole dream thing. Like, how does that feel? Does it feel like that or not like that? And I was thinking, like, in a dream, it can vary, I guess, in a dream. My first feeling was just like, oh, it can vary.
Yeah.
Because I can be more or less sort of aware or clear in a dream state. And sometimes my thing with dream is often if I catch myself afterwards at the right moment, if I write something down clearly enough, then it can be powerful. But that doesn't happen, you know, necessarily.
Yeah.
And that can really, writing something down can really mediate it.
Yeah.
And that kind of creates an almost, sometimes I feel, a secondary issue of like, you know, as a recording and then how good it was and then what does it, what kind of other memories get, you know, attached to that. And that's kind of, in a way, I get distance from dreaming by this process of like, you know, recording or active reflection or just being with it afterwards. Whereas with the focusing, I feel more like I've lived through something.
Yeah.
So they feel similar but kind of different. I just wanted to just like improvise on that area because there's not a question or a solution, but I'm
No, thanks. That's right. I think that's interesting. And I've definitely had focusing sessions where it felt like a dream. You know, I end it and think, wow, that was just like a dream. You know, in the sense of like it was completely, I didn't feel like I controlled it. Something in front, if you like, came from somewhere else. So it was a bit, if you like, spontaneous and the symbols and imagery that came were very dreamlike. It was, I could see that there was a metaphorical language that was working. So that was one point. And then you talk about, we'll look at this whole business of writing it down and we'll touch on it at least and just how that, I can see what you're saying there. So thank you. Yeah. So let's dovetail nicely into this next piece, which is just some general tips on working with dreams, which was. Now I don't routinely do this every night, but when I'm doing the dreams courses, which I do once or twice a year, I get into this habit more. So, which is about noting dreams down. So as soon as you can, which is slightly disruptive to one's sleep. So you can, as soon as you wake up, I would recommend, or as soon as you have a dream, note it down. In writing that you can read, just a little tip there. In the middle of the night, you can, oh God, I can't read the damn thing you've written. So it's quite hard to stay asleep enough to write it down. You know what I mean? You're battling all those things. So write it down, but don't think about it. That's my, that's just like, bang, get it out there as best as you can. Don't think about it. Until you can focus on it. You're bound to dwell on it a little bit, but if you can hold off that temptation to really try and, you know, work it out there and then, yeah. So note it down. You might record it. Some people do record dreams. So that's a possible thing, like as a voice recorder. And yeah, it might, you know, your dream might come at 4 a.m, which is a little bit inconvenient for you or your partner or whatever, your life. So that's part of the, why I actually quite like sometimes working on dreams and then not leaving them aside for a bit, which connects this next point, which is the more you listen, the more they speak. So the more you pay attention, the more like it's like your body wakes up and goes, oh, right. Okay, you're actually listening. Right. Okay, in that case, I'll make it even clearer for you or richer or something. It's quite interesting what begins to, it's like definitely a dialogue starts to happen, which is really nice. And the more you ignore them, you know, the less, no, they go away, but it's a bit like, a bit less vivid maybe, or you know, and we've all had that experience, haven't we, when we've had a really vivid strong dream and you know as a message, you know it's important. Yeah, I mean, this is a great example of a felt sense. You wake up and go, wow, that was significant. I don't know what it meant, but you know it's significant. So sometimes, you know, our body ramps up the kind of story and gets it really super super, you know, movie like or something, and it, whoa, okay, it's wanting you to listen, right? It's wanting you to listen. So there is, it's definitely communication. But from where, you know, it's mysterious, and I want to be very respectful in a way where dreams come from. So there's a question here, I just popped up. Any thoughts on recurring dreams? Yes, let's look at that. Because that is a really interesting theme also. As you can tell, I really love this topic. So note it down as soon as possible. Oh yeah, you might want to set alarms. So sometimes just a little practical tip is set your alarm 30 minutes before you wake up. Again, depending on how disruptive that is for you, but your dreams basically are short at the beginning of the night and longer towards the morning. So if you set your alarm earlier in the morning, like maybe like 30 minutes, an hour earlier, and maybe have a second alarm even if you want to go back to sleep, you're likely to catch a longer dream and you just dream more. So you're likely to catch yourself in dream sleep. So REM sleep, dream sleep gets longer, the more you go through the night. So something to bear in mind. So let's look at four tips for working with it in a focusing way. And then we'll have some questions. We'll take it from there. So tell the dream. That's an important bit of this process. Tell the dream. This is why if you've got it written down, it's great. So this is like, I'm talking more about the structure of a focusing and dream sort of exploration. Tell the dream to whoever's listening, or if you're focusing on your own, tell it out loud. Tell the dream. And you can even put it in the first person, present tense. You want to make it a bit more real. Like, I'm walking through a station. There's rubbish everywhere. The train is late. You know, whatever. Tell it in the present tense. So tell it as vividly as possible. And here's the next piece. I think it's a good starting place for working with dreams. I don't always start this way, but it'll be like, what calls for your attention? So once you've told the dream, take a moment to stop, pause, and go, what calls for my attention? So it's a different question, isn't it, to what does it mean? That's normally the question we come to dreams, and we go, what does it mean? There's nothing wrong with that question, but it's sort of has a different flavor to it. It can be quite cognitive. And in a way, what calls for attention is a bit more like you're aware that you don't really know yet what actually is the most important bit of the dream. Even you're like, just let you let that bubble up into awareness. Oh, well, the most important bit is that character, that person. Like, I've never seen. I don't know who they are, but they were really vivid, or like a landscape. It could be the most important bit. So let the kind of most significant thing call for attention. So I'll talk about different elements of the dream in a minute, but yeah, so that's just a nice simple way. What calls for attention? Very much like you might do in a focusing session, for those who are familiar with it. You stop and you notice what wants attention. Because very often a piece or an aspect of the dream will just be more vivid to you. Second little tip here, take this is a bit what's the word? Counterintuitive. Take the most troubling part of the dream. This takes a bit of courage and also a bit of practice, and also to trust that, especially when it's a difficult dream, to trust that what's coming isn't bad in itself. It's using language, it's exaggerated perhaps, it's using language, metaphorical language, but it doesn't mean necessarily what you're waking consciousness would think it would mean. An example of this might be, you know, you dream you've killed somebody or some violent fight. You know, most of us wake up troubled by that kind of dream. I do, certainly. Blimey. But the more you work on dreams, the more you realize, oh, okay, that's my dream maker using a very, very powerful sort of metaphor to describe some situation, and it's using it in like language that I can't ignore. And so it may not be about me, it's not you're a murderer or you want to kill somebody, it's just your body showing you, there's something, some aspect of yourself or aspect of your life that some part of you wants to crush or move or kill or something like that, or end. It's always good to remember, everything is metaphor. There's nothing literal in a dream, really, it's all metaphor. So yeah, so you might even take the most troubling part. Another good example of this confusion we get into around metaphor is dreams are around sex and intimacy, you know. I mean, they could literally be about that, but often we might dream about somebody or someone or anything. Why am I dreaming about them? You know, what's that about? You might start have some questions about your attraction to someone or something like that. But actually, very often it's about something to do with connection. It's a metaphor about connection, isn't it? So don't take it at face value. That's what I'm saying here. I guess when we invite you to learn not to take it at face value. Weather can be about emotions and feelings, and landscapes are about a kind of quality of situation that you're in. So it's really interesting, this metaphorical language, and it's very unique to you. So this is a really important point I want to make about the danger of, A, like dream dictionaries, you might, or like, what does this, you might look online or something, I don't know, or what does this mean when I dream about snakes, or when I dream about ladders, or when it, and somebody gives you, and something gives you a meaning. Now that meaning may resonate with you. In other words, it might touch you. You might go, oh yeah, that's right. But don't let that meaning override what's true for you. So you, it's like really important to like let, this is where the skill of focusing comes in. Really letting your sense of what matches, what's true, guide the process. So even though someone says, oh, ladders mean going upwards and ascending, your ladder in your dream might mean something completely different. That's very unique to you and your meaning around it. No one can ever tell you what something means to you. They might suggest, you might resonate. So this is also, yeah, in connection to speaking it to other people. I'm sure you've done that where a friend's told you a dream and you go, oh, I know what that means. You know, you kind of, it really, you know, you kind of think you know what it means and they go, no, you know, or it just doesn't fit. It doesn't hit anything in you. You know? Or someone tries to interpret your dream and you go, oh, no, it doesn't mean anything that's true about that. That's because there's a uniqueness of you and all the symbols that are alive in you. And yeah, of course, some of them are going to be universal in some ways or have a universality to them. We live in, you know, a world with many common languages and common symbols, but as always, the uniqueness is most important. So let that really be there. It's your thing. Yeah. So that was the second thing, taking the most troubling part, yeah, and a bit about metaphorical language and taking it as that. Yes. Two more things I want to talk about. One is characters and in storylines in dreams. There's no little, these are just all the part of the same set of tips. So characters in dreams. So many different elements. I'm drawing out one here, which is, yeah, people are in our dreams. Not always, but generally speaking, people star in our dreams, don't they? Friends or amalgams of people, relatives mixed with other people or even film stars, you know. There's a... So who are they? You know, some dream methodologies say they're part of you. So that's one way of working with it, but I wouldn't take that as the only way. So then the invitation here is just to feel into what's that character like. Okay, your knowing is that they're your friend Dave from work, but how do I actually feel in the dream? Really important difference. Do you see the difference here? It's like, oh, what do I feel like in the dream? It's quite different from what do I know about it in my waking life. So again, that's why it really helps to have this focusing sort of way of working. We're really allowing the kind of experience of it to be more direct and more felt through the body rather than the cognition. So character, it's a very rich part of dream life. And you might explore, okay, what part of that is me? Or just what does this person mean to me? What kind of person is it? What do they want? You know, so really let your curiosity go to rather than what, you know, being very cognitive about it. It's about letting the kind of feel of them come into awareness. So that's working with characters. And the last one, which I really love, is about storyline. And it's quite tricky sometimes to get, especially when you've only got a fragment of a dream. Of course, it's hard to do this, but many dreams have a story. They're telling you a story about something in your life. It could be like a big story, like I said. So there's a way of working with a dream where you just summarize the story of the dream in three sentences. So you might have a very elaborate dream, loads of detail, but it's like, first I was hiding, then I escaped, and then I felt better. So that might be a very long dream, and you summarize it into three parts, completely the key aspects of it. And then you ask yourself, okay, what in my life is like that? What in my life is like I'm hiding, and then I'm free. Or then I'm escaped and I'm free. And go, oh, wow, okay, that's what... Very often it makes sense of the whole thing. So you kind of almost have to step back from the detail and this is just sense the sort of... What is the story of the whole thing? I remember someone doing this with me and they were reflecting a dream back to me and they said, and I was a dream about a boat and the boat sank and da-da. And they said, and then I kind of... The boat got smaller and I could get out and float again. They said something, first it was all okay, then it wasn't okay, and then it was better. That was literally the summary. And immediately it's like, poof, like I knew exactly what this dream was about. Some very big important part of my life that I'd completely hadn't thought the dream was about. It was this kind of big arc of my life. And some very early sort of traumatic experience. And I'm like, wow, I had no idea a dream was about that. And it's just through this summarizing, it's hard to describe how it resonates. But when it came back to me, I'm like, yeah, absolutely clear. And they didn't know anything about that part of my life even. It wasn't like they knew it. They just summarized it in three steps. Really powerful. So I love working with storyline. But it does take a bit of a knack to it. So I want to pause there and then we'll come back to recurring dreams. But let's just, because I'm speaking a lot. So we've looked at, what calls our attention, taking the most troubling part of our dream and remembering its metaphor. We looked at a little bit of character, a little bit of storyline. And remembering all this is in a way happening in the context of a more focusing way of being. So that's just really settling into the body and letting the dream sort of be in that water of curious embodied listening. So pausing there. And any questions from anyone before we move on? Or chat, the question is fine. If you want to ask it privately, just I can not mention who it is, I'll just speak it out. Go for it, Stephen, yeah.
I was just reflecting that since I started focusing, my starting line, that one. Let's say I wake up in the middle of a dream and then I might go, oh, I wonder, what does my body feel like right now? Mm. And I kind of settle back into it. Mm. And it's almost like I'm sort of a bit more friendly towards the dream state.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to solve the riddle or, oh, what's this about? Or, I'm not engaged. I'm not activating that part of me.
Yeah.
This is something I've noticed. Just sharing that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, exactly. It's about not getting too drawn into that cognitive way of looking at it, let's say, and that's not to dismiss it or make it bad or anything. But, there is a, exactly. How does that feel inside? Yeah, because dreams come from the body, in a way. So, or let's say a deeper part of us is not just up here. So that's why I think focusing on dreams work very well. They both sink back into the same territory from which they came. And that's a different kind of language, a different kind of experiencing. Yeah.
The other thing that came across my mind now, and I don't use this word but dreams having a sort of shamanic quality in a way. I don't mean that in a very particular way, but I mean, mm-hmm. In a sense, like the best way is not to try and get your head around it. But at the same time, to kind of be with it.
Yeah.
But a bit more accepting that you're conscious.
Yeah.
You're not gonna, when you're awake and you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's another thing I've got from it. So.
Yeah, that's right. That makes sense.
But it'd be nice to have a dream buddy, someone you could talk to about your dreams, like you were saying. I hadn't thought of that before, because I often get stuck, even when I manage to write something down, and I've actually got quite a few just pinned up there on my wall over the year.
Yeah.
I get to a certain point with them, and I just, kind of just get stuck's not quite the right word, but I'm not going somewhere with it. And then
yeah.
I just get left on the side. I feel a bit sad. I felt like, could have been more to do there.
That's right. Yeah, very possibly. That's right. And dreams believe it, but they certainly live. Well, it comes back to recurring dreams, but dreams also live in the context of where that was in your life. And they may, at the time, they might have greater meaning than 6 months down the line, or they may not. It depends on the quality of the dream. And that's right. So, which does touch on Recurring dreams. Let's look at that. So recurring dreams is, in a way, by definition, they have a feeling of like, I need to keep telling you this story, like, because there's something it's not been heard yet. That's one way of looking at it. Like, it's like, okay, this is not yet finished, this story, or not yet resolved. So it kind of keeps repeating the same storyline or the same character or the same element of the dream. But it won't be exactly the same. I doubt it's exactly the same dream each night. Well, I mean, actually, I'm not sure. I think people maybe suffering from PTSD might have very, very similar dreams each night. And that's also very strongly influenced by physiology. But generally speaking, you know, there's a like difference. So you can explore a theme. And this is another thing I love doing with this work, is just taking a theme, which is a bit what themes are there in your dreams? For me, I have a lot of dreams about travel. Have they changed? They've actually got less over the last few years, because I did some work on it in one of these courses. So traveling from one place to another, or coming home, actually. It was about coming home. And it was always really difficult. I could never get the right flights. My luggage is always somewhere else. And the ticket was too small, and I dropped it. You know, I mean, anyway, they sound like really cliched kind of dreams. Like, well, everyone has dreams like that. But actually, anyway, we all have an issue with home, don't we? But when I got a bit like, oh, that theme is like obviously a very important kind of big bit of my life. So no wonder it keeps coming back. No wonder it keeps coming back. So recurring or thematic kind of things that keep coming back can, yeah, really. So you don't really have to remember a dream, and you just focus on, okay, what's that whole thing about? You know, that situation I keep dreaming about. For quite a long time after my mum died, which is one of the things that's turned my awareness towards focusing, you know, but for many, many months, I'd have dreams of her being alive again, or me trying to sort out a house. So just this recurring theme, where I'd meet her again. And I'd be like, you're supposed to be dead. What are you doing? It'd be really confusing on some level, but it was clearly a kind of an ongoing working out in the depths of my being, you know, that. So I think recurring things are really interesting. They point to something, you know, big topics, but very possibly. And lucid dreams, there's a little question there about that. Lucid dreaming, it's not something I've explored it a little bit. I used to lucid dream a lot as a child, as a teenager, and then that gradually gets, and occasionally it happens now, very, very occasionally. You know, a lot of that, but there are people who are practitioners, you know, they teach lucid dreaming and how to be awake in your dreams. And it's not something that's jumped out of me or something I need to do right now, but I think there's a lot, there might well be something in it. But yeah, you're aware in dreams, you know, you're kind of, it's an interesting thing. I mean, the most incredible insight I get from it is like how detailed it is, you know, like if you suddenly become aware in a dream and you're looking around going, oh my, like who is making the detail here? Who's like, that's the best computer there is, like vivid, like 3D, 4D, everything, you know, like such incredible detail. So if you ever do have a lucid dream, just stop still and look around. It's great. But yeah, it's not something I look at in the course specifically. That's a question. What about strong feelings becoming embodied as I am not grounded in a dream? I'm not sure I get the question. Do you mean like you might feel strongly in a have big strong feelings in a dream? Yeah. No, I mean, I have a lot of grief dreams like this, actually. It's easier for me to feel grief in a dream than I do in you know, like outer experience. So I'm not sure I answered your question about, but I mean, I certainly welcome it. But that being about being grounded in a dream, as I'm not grounded, I'm not sure I get that bit of the question, but you might want to type more or say more. But at least it's coming into consciousness, right? You know, at least that's. It's finding a way inward somewhere, isn't it? Because it's finding a way into a dream life. So I really welcome strong feelings. This is sort of something breaking through. Can feel overwhelming. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. It can do. Yeah. And that's why it can be really helpful to tell someone a dream, you know, or write it down or afterwards. So it doesn't continue to sort of haunt us, you know. So there is something about that sharing of it that can be really important. Not to working on the meaning, we're just getting it out there. I definitely agree. It can be overwhelming. Oh, someone just arrived. So yeah, anyway, how you work with it, you can't really work with it in the dream itself. It just, the dream just happens, doesn't it? But I guess in waking life, you can find a different way of being with it that might not be so overwhelming. You can meet it again where it won't be so overwhelming, because that's a possibility that offers. But yeah, it can be hard. So any other questions before we move on to our next piece? Malcolm, Eileen, you've just joined us. Possibly you can hear us. So I'd like to do a demo with somebody. So I'll say, so before anyone jumps in or doesn't jump in or avoids it completely, I'll just say how it works. So a demo would be a guided exploration of a dream. Very much in tune with where you might be coming from in terms of focusing, or if you know it or not, don't worry about those pieces. I can hopefully we'll navigate that. Or let's say a guided conversation, if it's not a kind of more of a focus, depending on if you know focusing, but some way of you'll bring a dream and it makes a few invitations for you to explore something or take something into awareness or check how it feels in your body and see. Yeah, we'll just sort of take it from there. It's going to be how long? About 15 minutes or up to 15, 20 minutes, something like that. I'll time it for you. So it'd be great if someone did volunteer for that. They had a dream that's fairly recent or a theme in a dream that they're really aware of, a kind of recurring theme. So I'll be your kind of companion and guide in that process. And we'll explore a dream together and then see what, and maybe there might be some questions about that process afterwards. But it kind of makes it a bit more live and real if someone does it. I have an alternative suggestion, but let's go there first. So does anyone have a dream? Yeah? Belle. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. Are you volunteering?
Hello. I am
great.
Indeed.
That's wonderful. Okay, thank you so much. Great. So good. I'm pleased. So let's just mute everybody else. So you, everyone else is looking, will be, or observing. We'll just be doing that, observing, and just be a kind of a conversation or an exploration. So Belle knows focusing already. We've worked together a bit before, so that's. Helps. Well, I hope it will help. Assume it will, but that means I won't have to explain that piece. And I'll tie. Yeah, so we'll have around 15 minutes just to explore this. And I'm not going to actually. I'm also not going to record this bit, so I'm going to turn.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, at least I can just easily lock it out. Do you want to make? Should we start with just like? Do you want to tell the dream a little bit first?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it all right if I just make a couple of notes, sorry, just so I can, in case I just need to remember something.
yeah, no, that's
I know what you wouldn't do this in a focusing session, but just for the dream things, it can be a little bit helpful. But yeah, go ahead and tell a piece of it and something of the context of the dream as well. That'd be great.
So this is like a recurrent dream that I've had on and off, which I'm quite really intrigued about. I'm basically, the theme around it is I'm walking in a place that I know quite well, or a city or somewhere that I'm just like quite familiar with, even if it's not somewhere I know. In the dream I feel like I know this place well, so yeah. It might not be the city I'm currently living in, but in the dream I do. And then on this occasion I take another turning, and then I find a whole new part of that city or the town or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, I never even knew this portion of the city existed. And it's normally quite a nature area. So it's a path, or it's a, it could be like a waterfall, or it could be a beach or something like that. Or more recently, the theme's changed. It's the same theme, but it's changed to like glaciers and, kind of just really beautiful, like a wonderfully beautiful natural site or place. And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe this has always been there, and I want to remember it, and I want to remember how to get there. And I'm really, I just remember feeling like really overwhelmingly happy that this is there. And I just think, well, this is where I want to stay now. And then, and then I often wake up.
Great. Wonderful. Okay. So to see this, so there's a kind of, is it, if I just kind of get the essence of it and see if I captured it. So it would be, you're walking somewhere that's kind of fairly known to you, even though it's not exactly the same as a city or, you know, but there's a quality of it being known. Then you take a turning and you're somewhere that you never knew existed in that place before. Like it normally wouldn't be in that place. Something very new and often natural and beautiful. And it feels good to be there. And you want to remember how to get there.
Yeah.
That seems, yeah. So yeah, let's explore that a little. And so the invitation would be to, yeah, just pause for a moment and just kind of let all that, having said all that, let it settle a little bit, if you like, inside. And you can have your eyes open or eyes closed, I don't mind. But just take a moment to pause and feel your whole body on the chair you're sitting on. And begin to be curious or remembering that interested kind of quality to what's happening inside. As, and yeah, maybe and noticing like what stirs in you about that, those dreams, that theme, or what calls for attention about them, or yeah, starting there and just seeing what happens.
So I just, even just thinking about it, I feel quite like overwhelmed, like just not overwhelmed, just really happy. And it's just like it, I can feel like a smile on my face, like it's just a, and then the thoughts just come to my mind, like, I just feel like it's so close, but I don't know where it, like I'm almost kind of searching for it because I know, I feel like it's there.
So two aspects, what you're noticing. One is the kind of happy, like it feels not overwhelmed, but strongly like that quality there and a smile on your face. And then there's also the searching quality to it. Like it's almost, it's there, but something like that. There's something.
How it's, yeah, almost like, how do I reach it?
Yeah.
How, you know, and in my dream, I know, like, I'm like, oh, you know, take that turning, and I'll have other dreams where I'm like, I'm going to go to that place now. I'm in that same situation. I'm going to that place, and
yeah.
Sometimes I don't quite get there, or because I'm like with family or friends, and like, let's go to that, let me show them that place, and
but
the dream finishes before before I get there, but not in a sad way, just the dream doesn't, you know, I don't get to that point, but
yeah. So you're remembering they have a different kind of sort of stories that emerge, like sometimes you get there and sometimes you don't. But in the dream that you've shown that you, or you do, you can get there.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there, you know, I've discovered the place, and I've been there, and I'm just like, it's just almost like magical.
Yeah, really inviting you just to appreciate that quality, the magical quality, or whatever other words there are there for it, that quality of being in those places that you find.
And I'm just getting this thought that sometimes I think, I don't know, like sometimes I think when I'm awake, I'm going to go there. I'm like, now, you know, when I wake up, I can go there because I know how to get there now.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I do wake up, you know, I'm back in this city and it's not the city I was in my dream. And,
yeah,
you know, the layout is different and everything. And I'm just like, it's almost like, how do I kind of, I'm so certain in my dream that, yeah, I know how to get there now.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm on that. I've done it. Okay, remember this. So when I wake up, then I'll be on my way there. But
yeah,
you know, the city's changed. It's a different place where I'm awake.
Right.
In terms of even physicality, it's like it's not the same place. So
yeah,
I can't even follow that path.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, it's taking the difference between, yeah, like in the dream, how you know where the place is.
Yeah.
And then that kind of waking and realizing, oh, it's different. It's different.
Mm.
You can't find it so easily or something. It's
yeah,
not the same city.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, so it maybe like something in you knows, at least in your dream world, knows how to get to these places.
Mm.
Something in you knows.
It just seems so easy in the dream, though.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
You're just like walking and you're like, oh, it's there.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it just feels so different in, you know, waking up and... Yeah.
It's easy in dreams.
But I find myself thinking about it a lot, and I always welcome the dream. As if I ever have it again, I'm like, oh, that's that dream.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So this is a dream you welcome back again when it comes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess inviting at this moment just to sort of pause and check if there's something more in the dream that wants to, or some aspect of it or anything about it, right, that wants to kind of be known.
Mine just keeps going back to like a road, like a really hilly road lined with hedges.
Mm.
Really green hedges. Really steep steps up to this place.
So you're remembering that particular kind of way of getting to that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was steep and hilly.
Yeah, really steep and hilly, but
yeah,
but not hard.
Yeah.
Never feels hard. It's just always like, right, here we go. And then
yeah.
Never hard though.
Right. Yeah. So it seems important that it never hard, this sort of finding this place or getting to it.
True. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I thought of it that way.
Mm.
Never thought of it that way. That's really interesting you say that, because you know, this year for me has been a lot about simplicity. That's the word that keeps coming to my mind.
Yeah.
Bringing it all back down to simple. I just want to live a simple, transparent life. And that's really interesting, because it's just nice for things to be easy.
Mm.
And it feels better when it's easy.
Yeah. So there's something here about simplicity and things being easy that sort of strikes you, that
It's always outdoors, you know. The happiest place. It's like, it's always outdoors. If it's a beach or a waterfall, or more recently, like ice, glacial ice.
Yeah. So maybe taking that in, like the feeling, the quality of that. There are places in nature, they're outdoors. And more recently, yeah, there's something, a sort of theme or this sense of ice and glaciers and. Yeah, just receiving that really.
It's just kind of the memory of the dreams, and it's always a thought of, how does no one else know of this place?
Mm-hmm.
Back to me.
Yeah. There's that feeling to it in the dream too. How come no one else knows about this place? So it's like your place. Would that fit? This is your place that you can get to. So we're coming into the last sort of few minutes. So you don't have to rush to finish. So maybe there's something more that wants to be kind of communicated or noticed. And yeah, before the end.
Just have this real feeling of it being just really high up. Just this real height to the place.
Yeah, okay. So these are places high up.
Yeah.
Something about that feels important or significant in some way.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Going to end it with a thank you.
Yeah.
It's a really nice collection of dreams, those dreams. So.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for bringing them and sharing them here. I'm grateful for your offering that. Because sometimes dreams aren't easy, and people, so it kind of makes it nice to sort of dwell on, doesn't it, when they have that kind of real positive quality to them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's if it's all right, I'd like to open up a bit of a discussion around, or questions around that. Would that be okay with you to do that? How would it be?
That would be really nice. It's almost like, what is this? Like, you know, what is this about?
So anything really? I mean, yeah, I guess sort of inquiries around the process of what I did, and also just anything that sort of spins off of it. Questions that come off of it are welcome. But if at any point, do you feel like you want to sort of stop? Let me know, Val. It's fine. And I've got this one particular thing I want to say as well at some point. But anyone else, just what you observe and. And there can be, as I say, talk to questions or just through chat. A question I just would just drop in, Val, that I thought might be useful, or I didn't do it in the session. I just wanted to kind of leave more space in the session, but maybe something to dwell on later would be, you know, what in your life is like that? is like that situation that keeps being shown to you through the story. What in my life is like that? Maybe that might not yield something, but very often it does for me. I go, oh right, oh yeah, what situation in my life is like that? Like I'm in a place I know, and then I can find my way to somewhere that's really beautiful and really amazing, and that's mine. And so maybe there's a kind of resonance there. That's why that question works. Like what it's like, it's really inviting the metaphor to come to be clearly felt. Now, sometimes something comes there with that question, sometimes it doesn't. So sometimes it's really like nothing comes from that. It's in such a cryptic language. It's like, yeah, I have no idea why that could mean anything in my life, really. But yeah. Yeah, so a question pops up here. Can you see that? It's to everyone, so I'm assuming you can read it too. So is this a question to the dreamer? Yeah.
So in my dream, I feel like I am going where my heart wants to take me. It definitely doesn't feel like in the dream that I'm avoiding somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, this is brilliant. You know, it feels like it's almost like I found something that's really like where I don't know if it's where I should be, but like I found somewhere I'm like, this is where I want to be.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That was a feel of, good, interesting question, isn't it? You know, but yeah, that's right. So, and what I really love about what we had just answered that is like you, there's a yes, like you know, no, it's not about going somewhere else. It's about finding somewhere. That's a very sort of focusing kind of move. You know, it's many of us do it in everyday conversation. We just know that's right and this is not right. We know when someone else is. I'm not saying this is your idea, Andy, or not, but like we know when something fits. And that's what we're following in our own work with dreams. And that's sometimes when we give up, when we interpret a dream and we go, oh yeah, this is really obviously about that thing at work and that conflict I had and nothing resonates. It's like, oh, it doesn't feel like that at all, you know. So we know, we get it. So a kind of know is a kind of blankness when we go to a dream and our meaning we give it just doesn't resonate, doesn't feel true. So we know there's another meaning that we're not yet getting. So it's a nice little just example of that in that question. Yeah. Great.
So, hi, it's Stephen here. So these are different dreams, but they're associated through a sort of the theme. And if I understood right, and when you're in one of the dreams, do you think at the beginning of like, oh, I'm in, you know, I'm in that same story, or do they all feel different in some way?
Sometimes I think, oh, I'm in that story. But they've kind of evolved. So the stories used to be about finding a beach. And then there was this waterfall element to it. And then more recently, it's been kind of finding this other kind of glacial, kind of Arctic place. But sometimes I do feel like, oh, I'm going to go to that place because I'm kind of able to now, you know. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting how they've changed over time. It's like whatever time span that is, but that might be something to be curious about, significant. Also, certainly that's been like I said about those themes I was talking about, like coming home. You know, once I clocked what they were about, they started to shift. and change over time. Like the journey would be different. It would be less. It would be like, oh, I can make it home. Oh, I am making. No, now I have made it home. Okay, I don't have my luggage with me, but it doesn't matter. You know, so something changes over time. So the dream maker can show you a sequence of stories that shifts over time. That are about a shifting situation in your life, because nothing's that static, is it? You know, and our things do change when we bring awareness to them, when we explore our life in new ways, in situations change. So the dream reflects that. There was something I wanted to just say. Yeah, any more questions about that demo? Just one more question, maybe, or comment, and then we'll just move on back to something more general. I'll just say a bit about next steps as well. So I just want to point to one thing I've mentioned yet about working with dreams, which is that there's a real delight and pleasure when you work out what a dream means. It's like, oh, that's what it's about. Really lovely to finally get that sometimes, or to begin. What I notice is I begin to like get to know the language of my being, and like, oh, that's how it speaks. And so that really happens on the courses, I notice. You begin to find it easier to decipher what it is. And that's really satisfying. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what that's about, that, and that's about that. And this is, but the even more mysterious and what's interesting is a dream can point to next steps. So it can point to a bit like where your life needs to go next. I find that really exciting. So it's not just telling you, oh, this is how it is. This is a picture for how it is. Which I think is great to sort of feel that, but it's also has a possibility. It doesn't always do this every night, but a dream has a possibility of saying, oh, this is how a situation could move forward in your life. Could it points the way. I'll say more about that in the course, really, but there's some inquiries we do around what's really growing and alive in a dream, for example. What in a dream symbolizes growth and movement? And it could be something really simple, like literally there's things growing, you know, like grass or nature. Or it could be like a new bike or something, or a freshly painted house. The symbols of something new emerging, or newness and movement. It can be very, very interesting to explore. But yeah, so the dream can point to next steps. And I think that offers us some another perspective of how to work with things we're stuck with, you know. So that's why I like that. So that's something about that. Next steps. So just a little bit to end about the course. So this is a sort of seminar that prepares or kind of opens the doorway to a course I do. So it starts in October the 15th, and that's a 5-week course on dreams. So it's a weekly course. 7 to 9:15 for 5 weeks. Each week we're exploring a different theme or aspect of focusing the dreams, and we'll do some work together in pairs or threes, or, you know, and I can support that if you're newer to. I mean, it works best if you know a little bit about focusing. If you don't and you really want to come to the course, let me know. That's also fine. But we might have to kind of do a bit of work together to prepare for it, because it's too much to teach focusing and do teach about dreams at the same time. But there's some overlap we can make. So that's the course, 5 weeks, 7 to 9:15. And one of the things I like being spread over the weeks is that, you know, you get plenty of opportunities for dreams. You know, you've got 7 nights or 6 nights between each course. And so there's normally something to material to work on, even if you're like, I haven't got a dream. Like I say, the more you pay attention, the more cool stuff comes. So, yeah. And that's, so starting in about over a month. And I would recommend this book if you don't want it. Where's it gone? Let me just find it. If it doesn't come to hand, I'll just have to tell you. So it's not must be listed somewhere else. So it's Let Your Body Interpret Your Dreams. This is Eugene Gendlin's book on focusing in dreams. Very good book. It's actually a great book on focusing, actually, as well. There's a lot to learn in that book. I think it's out of print, but there's plenty of copies lying about. I don't have one here. It should be somewhere around. So Let Your Body Interpret Your Dreams. Really good sort of manual, really, of how to work with dreams. It gives lots of different doorways and avenues into that. Really worth finding. So if you don't want to do a course and you want to know more, just read his book, you know, pick it up. I don't know how much it is, £15 or something, or £10, and work through it. Really good material in there. Yeah. Any final questions before we sign off? Daydreaming. Oh. What about daydreaming? When you say daydreaming, you mean that's that kind of that thing where you kind of go off into a sort of, I don't know, a sort of fanciful imagining? Or do you mean something like literally falling asleep in the day and dreaming? Yeah, right. Well, certainly, I mean, it's not something I've explored in a focusing way, but it might well be. You know, I guess we're kind of, I mean, I'm a big believer in it. You can be curious about anything, really. So take a curiosity and go, what does that feel like, or what's happening there? But not in a kind of harsh, like, way. This is one of the benefits of focusing practice is, you learn to be curious without being demanding. Go, oh, what is that? What happens there? What am I longing for? What does my body feel like? So yeah, certainly, explore it, see what's happening there. But there may be something your body or your being is trying to communicate in those places, very, very possibly. So yeah. Great. Lovely. All right, well, thank you, Belle, for your volunteering for the session. That's great, really appreciate that. I'll check in afterwards about that recording. And yeah, anyone else, if you've got any questions, please feel free to get in touch afterwards. I'll be posting the recording on my website and social media if you want to listen in or share it with anyone else. Yeah, and if you're interested in the course, got questions about it, indeed, if it feels like it's too much, it's £100, by the way, I didn't say that. If it's too much money and you want to pay less, or are you really keen to come, let me know. I'm very open to differences and all that. So, yep, let me know. And I'll just sign out. You just click end meeting. I'll hang around until everyone's disappeared. And if somebody wants to ask a question, please feel free also to hang around at the end of it. But other than that, we'll finish there and I'll stop recording.